Hi, this is Anne Merchant, and welcome to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, the Institute of Medicine, and the National Research Council, collectively known as the National Academies. You'd think it would be a pretty simple question. How much weight should I gain when I'm pregnant? Maybe you can't expect one magic number, but you'd think that something in a 5 or so pound range would be a realistic target for a medical professional to provide. But over the course of the last century, there have actually been a variety of different right answers to that question. In the early 1900s, a woman was generally told that she should only gain between 15 to 20 pounds. But from 1970 to 1990, the guideline for weight gain during pregnancy was higher, 20 to 25 pounds. And in 1990, with the publication of the Institute of Medicine's report, Nutrition During Pregnancy, it went even higher for some groups of women. These late 20th century guidelines reflected what was then new knowledge about the importance of maternal body size before conception, as measured by body mass index, or BMI, for the outcome of pregnancy. But the obesity epidemic that has swept the nation over the last 20 years has not spared women of reproductive age. Today, 8% of women who fall into that category are severely obese, while only 3% are underweight. As women of childbearing age have become heavier, the trade-off between maternal and child health created by variation in gestational weight gain has become more difficult to reconcile. The time has clearly come to re-examine the guidelines that help medical professionals answer that simple question of how much weight is appropriate to gain during pregnancy. Kathleen Rasmussen, professor of nutrition at Cornell University and chair of the Institute of Medicine's Committee to Reexamine Pregnancy Weight Guidelines, explains some of the key changes that spurred interest in updating the 1990 guidelines.
There have been many changes in information since the Institute of Medicine last released a report on weight gain during pregnancy in 1990. We have quite a bit of new data about what predicts how much weight women will gain and even more information about the consequences of weight gain for the mother and her child. New BMI categories have been released by the World Health Organization and adopted by the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, which have received wide acceptance, but they differ from the categories that were used in the 1990 report. Lots of changes, too, in the demographic characteristics of the population. We have a much more diverse group of women becoming pregnant in the United States now than we did in 1990. And, of course, the obesity rate has gone up dramatically for women of childbearing age, just as it has for other subgroups of the population since 1990.
The new guidelines for gestational weight gain, or GWG, are formulated as a range for each category of pre-pregnancy BMI. This approach reflects the fact that the estimates on which the recommendations are based are not entirely precise, that good outcomes are achieved within a range of weight gains, and that there are a host of additional factors that may need to be considered to determine what is the right amount of weight gain for an individual woman.
And the amount of weight women should gain depends on her pre-pregnancy BMI. It's been very clearly shown. It was clear in 1990, and it's only become more clear since then, that the amount of weight a woman should gain does depend on how heavy she is to start with. And for underweight women, we recommend that they gain between 28 and 40 pounds. For normal weight women, between 25 and 35 pounds. For overweight women, between 15 and 25 pounds. And finally, for obese women, between 11 and 20 pounds.
In developing its recommendations, the IOM identified a set of consequences for the short or long-term health of the mother and the child that are potentially related to the gestational weight gain.
If a mother gains too much weight during pregnancy, the primary thing we're immediately worried about is excessive postpartum weight retention. And this is a problem because it would make her heavier at the next conception, and the heavier a woman is, the more difficulty she has with pregnancy in general. The long-term consequence is the consequence, all the other consequences of being too heavy. Let's say this is the last baby she had, but she's retained an extra 10 pounds. Those are 10 pounds that are hard to lose and 10 pounds that are not helping her with her long-term health.
The report also examined the effects of excessive weight gain on the infant.
The effects of maternal gain on the baby are potentially considerable. If the mother gains too much, it's likely that the baby will be large at birth, and that's potentially too big in two ways. The baby could be sufficiently big as to create a difficult situation for delivery. That can wind up in an operative delivery for the mother, a cesarean section, which has a longer recovery, of course, than a vaginal delivery. It can create birth injuries for the child, which usually resolve satisfactorily. Or the baby can wind up more likely to be obese, him or herself, later on. Now, whether that's all from weight gain or from other circumstances in the environment is difficult to tell with the data at hand, but a range of consequences for the infant.
To avoid these detrimental outcomes, a higher proportion of American women should conceive at a weight within the range of normal BMI values. To do this, the IOM recommends preconception counseling, and for many women, some pre-pregnancy dieting.
We think a woman should begin talking to her healthcare professional about her weight before she gets pregnant. Women who wish to get pregnant are more likely to become pregnant if they are at a normal weight. So if they are too heavy or too light, in both cases they want to move their weight to a normal weight for their height so as to be more likely to conceive. And also to have a healthier outcome of pregnancy for themselves and for their baby.
To help women in following these guidelines, they first need to know that they exist, which will require educating healthcare providers as well as the women themselves.
Most women right now are gaining outside of the guidelines, either too little or too much. So helping them to do that is going to require another array of services during the period in which women are pregnant. So it would probably be offered through the obstetrician or midwife who's caring for them. This is a very different set of services than are currently offered, and it will take considerable effort to create them and provide them.
In offering women individualized attention, a variety of services could be considered. Healthcare providers should chart women's weight gain and share the results with them so that they are consistently aware of their progress toward their weight gain goal. These charts are meant to be used as part of an assessment of pregnancy and a woman's weight gain, looking beyond the gain from one visit to the next and toward the overall pattern of weight gain. In addition, women should also be provided with individualized advice about diet and physical activity. This may require referral to a dietitian, as well as other appropriately qualified individuals, such as those who specialize in helping women to increase their physical activity. These services may need to continue into the postpartum period to give women the maximum support to return to their pre-pregnant weight within the first year, which gives them a better chance of returning to a normal BMI value before they should become pregnant again.
I think the most important thing that women should know about weight gain during pregnancy is that the amount of weight that she gains influences her health and her baby's health. But there is a range of weight gain that is associated with good outcomes, and we encourage women to gain within the guidelines because we think that these are our best guess as to where the good outcomes occur. But women also have good outcomes outside the weight gain guidelines because weight gain itself is quite variable, as are women. So we are making a recommendation to pregnant women that's based on the best information that we have.
And while this best information has not produced weight gain guidelines that are dramatically different from those issued in 1990, fully implementing all the IOM's recommendations would represent a radical change in the care of women of childbearing age. The increase in overweight and obesity and the failure of many pregnant women to gain within the earlier 1990 guidelines clearly demonstrate that women need help to achieve the goals cited in this new report. But the reduction in future health problems among women and their children that could possibly be achieved by meeting the IOM's newest guidelines provide ample justification for the committee's recommendations. You may read the full text of the IOM's guidelines for weight gain during pregnancy online at nap.edu. My name is Anne Merchant, and you've been listening to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academies, advisors to the nation on science, engineering, and medicine. Be sure to visit us at our website at nationalacademies.org, where we have more than 3,000 books and publications available full text to read free online.